Yeah, welcome everyone to another episode of 90 Day React, Bubbles and Banter, episode 11 of season 11 of 90 Day Fiancé.
We're going to be talking about last week's episode and this week's episode since we took a week off.
So let's go through the easy ones first. Let's leave the hard ones in for the last. I think the easiest ones, let's do Jessica and Juan.
Not much going on there.
Not much going on, exactly. And the crazy, the weird Megan showed up again. They went bowling, I think. And she brought it up again. Like, Juan is like, can I go back on a boat and make some more money? And, you know, he doesn't understand. You're on a, you know, K-1 visa. You can't leave and come back.
So unless he does domestic cruise, right?
I don't know if you could do. I mean, that would be then. The only reason he's saying that is because cruise would be international waters.
Oh, okay.
So then he's not violating the visa. But if he does work within the borders of U.S., then you're violating, definitely violating the visa. You're not supposed to work. So he just has to get used to being Mr. Mom.
Oh, right. I forgot.
He doesn't like
that. You're right.
That.
He can't work. Okay.
Yeah, he can't work, and he doesn't want to. He feels like if he takes care of the kids at home, he's like he's not really doing anything. Like he feels useless, just like many other men that are after.
Or even women who stay at home who have ambitions.
Yeah, exactly. But for him, it's like he's so used to work and this and that, and then you know. But you know, you're raising kids, so.
Anyway, I those two kind of irritate me. I don't really care for them, but.
What irritates Juan is that Megan keeps showing up and asking him, questioning him about, you know, this affair. And this
we're
time around,
it.
she says she's kept, you know, she asks him again about, you know, when, you know, while they're bowling and having fun, she brings up the subject again. And Juan says, I'm sick and tired of this. You know, how many times you want, even Jessica joined in, like, stop it.
Yeah, cut it out.
And the last thing she said to Juan is that she said that I will promise to ruin your life if it goes bad on me again or on her again.
Yeah.
Like,
she's
okay.
Not doing well.
We get it. You know,
I saw a TikTok of Megan recently being like, there's like a trend going around where it's like, what's your favorite horror story? And then someone says something embarrassing that happened to them, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
So she was like, the text on, she was like smiling kind of coy, and the text on screen was like, what's your favorite horror story? And it was like 90 Day Fiance season 11 episode 4, which was the one where she was like freaking out at the bar and like crying.
Exactly.
But it's like, are you embarrassed? Because did it take watching yourself on TV to realize how ridiculous you look? Maybe. I don't know, she seemed kind of embarrassed in the TikTok, but
exactly.
It was just weird. Anyway, next.
She doesn't care. Okay, let's do Stevie and Matty. Matty finally proposed or re-proposed to Stevie on the beach somewhere.
Yeah.
I think the place was called Ocean City or Ocean something. Ocean Springs, somewhere, I guess, in near Mississippi. Matty surprised her and re-proposed, and she accepted, and now, because of the fact that they want to speed up the process to save some money because of the application and all that, so they have to find a venue to have the wedding at. Not too many places are going to be available, so they finally find this. Yeah, it's a cute place, you know. She's going to have a small wedding anyway. Stevie's close friend was there too. You know, Stevie's friends asked him, how do you want to, or asked Stevie, how do you want to decorate this place? And maybe some of your paintings. And they get into this nude painting discussion again. It's like, give us a break, man. It's like,
let it go.
Matty has to let this thing go. Okay. She likes to paint nude paintings of women. Just let it go. It's fine. Not a big deal. And, you know, he claims to be from a super religious family. It's like, if you're super religious, why did you eat pork? Or why did you even come here if they're super religious?
I think it's a cop-out. I don't know. He keeps he brought up, okay, so the Matthew thing being like, well, if you're bi, I'm not okay with that, is like, I'm not surprised. Am I annoyed? Yeah. Am I surprised? No. But the thing that's confusing me is like Stevie's attitude even before they had that conversation.
Right.
When they were at the venue, I'm like, why is she acting like this? I don't know. Something was off. Like, what is her general issue with him? Because he just re-proposed to you. He took you on this trip. He said, I'm serious about my decision. I want to stay here. I want to build a life with you. Now what? Like, she still seemed like irritated because
she's worried about what he's thinking.
She's trying to read his mind and she's worrying about things that he hasn't even vocalized, girl. Calm down. Yeah,
the way Matty looks like I've never seen this. I haven't seen this guy. He smiles from time to time, but he doesn't really laugh. He has this serious look on his face. He has like a boring personality. Like, all the time, you know?
He's not like a particularly fun person to be around.
I guess not. And let's mention that not all Iranians are like that.
We're fun.
See, we're doing this show.
Yeah. He's just boring. And he seems like she shouldn't be worried about what he's thinking because clearly he has an issue with oversharing with her anyway. I don't know. You can tell she's like in her head about stuff. And I understand she's under a lot of stress and this wedding and all that. But like, she doesn't look happy.
She's nervous. Anyway. She's nervous about his reaction. And she was upset the way he reacted and his facial expression changed. Like he wanted to get into an argument with her in front of her friend and she didn't want to have that. So they rushed out of there and they argued in a car and on the streets like it's not a big deal. And he was making a big deal because his thoughts going all over the place. This nude painting of, you know, painting nude pictures of people is like, I remember the first year in college, it was my second year being here in New York. I walk into the fine arts department and I walked in the first class on my right. It was the painting class and it was a nude person right in the middle of the class. I don't remember if it was a she or a he. Was standing right in the center and about a dozen students around this person were drawing her or were drawing him. And I looked at it, it was like, okay. And I moved on. It was like, yeah, I mean, this is how you learn because you have professor is there and the person is there, the model is there and you're painting or you're drawing, illustrating this nude person, which the way should be, you know, right. Seeing the person in three-dimensional form from different angles. So you draw, you illustrate or paint whatever you see. And then, you know, you go over it with your professor and you make corrections and change your style and they give you. So it wasn't a big deal. I mean, it was strange at first sight and then it was fine. You know, okay.
I think you and I both had experiences in college in fine arts classes. Right. And I think it's something that artists can understand and appreciate and right. Mature people, maybe. I think it's highly immature and also like weird when people try to sexualize something that is not sexual.
Yeah, you have to go past it. You know, you can't
like
think
human
of it that
beings
way.
In the nude are not inherently sexual. It's right. Just your body. But yeah. I understand that it's like a big jump for him coming from a conservative country
right.
Where, you know, dancing is not even allowed publicly and all of that. I understand it's a big right. Jump for him, but I just don't like the way he keeps being like, are you bi? Are you bi? Like, right. It's immature. It's backwards. It's all of those things. And she did say, she was like, this is dumb. But if I say no, will you stop? Like, pestering me about it.
Right.
And I don't know. They just kind of left it. She was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. It just, he has to get over this notion of there's going to be, you know, sexuality, you know, sex involved in whatever he's imagining in his mind. But
yeah.
Shower? You took another shower?
Oh my God. Okay.
Why are you taking another shower?
Do you want to do Gregory and Joan, or do you want to do Shekinah and Sarper?
Either one. I mean,
Shekinah and Sarper, like, I don't know. It's like, I don't really have too much to say about that. It was
her
family is weird, and they seem like a bunch of posers, just like her.
What, her sisters? Yeah.
Yeah. They're like mega tryhards. Coolness comes from a level of apathy. Coolness comes from not trying. The cool people are the people who don't even realize that they have this cool essence. So it's the same thing with Shekinah's family. It's like they Googled like cool outfits, Montana. Come on, guys.
Well, you also have to think of the, you know, where they come from, their background, you know, being ex-Amish.
Whatever. That's such bullshit. She said it again and she was like,
sounds like ex-military.
I mean, she's the oldest and they left the Amish area when she was 14.
Right.
And from the photo that they shared where it looks like she's around that age, all of her other siblings were like babies.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I thought that like Sarper scared them a little bit in that conversation because he was like, she's my geisha, or like.
Yeah, Sarper should not mention the following words, which are obedient and geisha vibes. Just stay away from those words.
Yeah, like they definitely got scared when he was like, she's not as obedient as she was. Or,
yeah, I mean, why do you even say that? You know, why bring it up?
He doesn't know.
It's just one of those times that you need a translator. Doesn't mean that, but what he means is, you know, such and such. But he is the way he is, you know?
Yeah. The one thing during that conversation that I was like, what? Was the sister that was directly to Shekinah's right.
Right.
They were talking about trust and she was like, oh, well, like, I just take his word for things. And the sister kind of looked at her and was like, you just take his word? Trust his word? And I understand where she could be coming from, especially if she has her own experiences with being cheated on. And Shekinah had a few instances with Sarper where he wasn't being honest. Right. But it's like, yes, that's what other couples that are in healthy relationships do, believe it or not. They trust people and their word. So I know they're looking out for her, but they're also not coming from like a healed and healthy spot either. And Sarper did apologize to
Sharia
law. Sharia.
Is it Sharia or Sharia?
I think they're all ayahs.
I know.
He did apologize to her and he was like, I feel really horrible about how that happened. And I think it was a good starting point for the future. Yeah. But then in the following episode, we see a complete 180.
Yeah, and things fall apart.
Why don't you talk to us about that?
Yeah, so I mean, they come back from... Was it Montana, right?
Yeah, Montana.
We come back from Montana, and all you hear is the audio recording of them, Shekinah and Sarper, yelling at each other and saying stuff that are hurtful. And now hear this, and it's like they show Shekinah packing up all her stuff from downstairs, all the business-related items. And finally, she is moving her business somewhere else, thank God. And then you see Sarper hanging out at playground and trying to FaceTime his cousin and talk about their argument. I don't know. It just seemed like a normal argument. It wasn't like about anything crazy. I can't stand your face. You have an attitude of this and that. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's what, you know. Married couple, you sometimes say to each other, it wasn't the end of the world.
It just wasn't clear to me what precipitated the argument.
Right.
Shekinah said that she like made him a sandwich and he was like angry, or like he was already kind of had his panties in a bunch. Something that was like alarming though, would not seem like a normal argument, was he was like, I f-ing hate you. I think he said like, I want to go back. I f-ing hate you. I don't want to be here. He said a lot of intense stuff. So I was like, what happened? Like,
Right.
And what precipitated this? So
where is he going to go? I mean, he doesn't have any, you know, any friends there. And, and the cousin was, she brought up the fact that she had talked to Shekinah about this, specifically about the fact that if they have an argument and they fight, what's going to happen to Sarper? And she kind of suggested that, oh, maybe by then, you know, we'll have friends that you could go to there, you know, maybe by then you will have, you know, and this, you know, he's only been here like a month or so and he can't go anywhere. He doesn't really know anybody. And the cousin told Shekinah at the time, like, maybe you don't get to that point where he has to leave and go nowhere. He just has to hang out on the street, be like Mahmoud and disappear somewhere. Somebody has to go pick him up.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Sarper is angry and talking to, you know, his cousin that he says, if I was getting ready to go back, I got, you know, reserve my ticket and all I had to do, you know, click enter and it would have been done. But there's no looking back after that. And if I do that, I come back to Turkey, I'm going to be with another
3,500
women. Yeah. So I'm not sure he meant an extra 1,000 plus the 2,500. Or does that come to 6,000 people that he's going to be with?
I just hate that he does that when he... It's so rude to Shekinah. Every time they have like a big argument, he always threatens her and says something like, I'm going to forget all about you. It'll be like you never existed.
Right.
And he said that once when they were in Turkey too. And it's like, he says really hurtful, below the belt things to her.
Right.
And it's not fair. And I can't imagine what she could have done. First of all, no one deserves to be spoken to like that. But right. I'm just saying, like, I can't imagine what she could have done to warrant that reaction from him. She's trying her best. She's like, okay, I need to make adjustments. This place is too small. Let me move my stuff out. What happened? Like, why are we talking to her like this? And why are you threatening her like that? That's very hurtful.
Yeah, we don't know how it started.
I will share that I saw Shekinah had like a ask me a question thing on her Instagram. Uh-huh. And someone asked, are you going through a rough patch with Sarper? And she said... She posted a photo of like thunder and like, not thunder, sorry, clouds and lightning. And she said, let's just say you probably won't see us on any more seasons.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. It might be just like clickbait because.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I don't know. It might just be nonsense.
Right.
I know at the very least that they're still together because of our cameo.
I know, right?
That was filmed in December. So.
It's our fault.
It's our fault. Who knows? Maybe something happened within the last 4 months, but I think it's probably just her trying to get more publicity for the show and all that. But
it's possible. Let's move on to you taking another shower.
Oh my God.
Why so many showers?
It's like, why are you so dirty? That's what I need to ask.
I know. The poor
you
woman
have
just
chickens in the backyard. It's the summertime. It gets hot.
She came upstairs. This is Greg's mom. I forgot her name. Was it? I don't know.
Debbie.
She comes upstairs and she starts talking. What is it?
Debbie. Isn't it like Lucille or something?
Oh, could be. Yeah. It could be. He starts a conversation about... What are you going to do about the wedding? Greg and Jones had an idea of having the wedding in our house, in the backyard, and catered the thing. And, you know, and she says, listen, if you're going to do that, I'm going to end up cleaning this, cleaning that, preparing, doing a lot of work that I don't want to do. And then she asks Greg, how much money are you thinking about for this wedding? And he says, well, thinking about $5,000. And then she says, like, listen, I saw this other place that there was something had happened there before that they had a party there. And she said she priced it out. and it seemed fair, you know, fair price. Why don't we go check it out? And the next scene they go, and then there's this like, you know, someplace out on Long Island is like, it seemed like a decent catering hall. I mean, the place was, the guy showed them around. It was just like a big hall, buffet style food. And then, you know, they had a bar, and it's open bar. And he says, you know, the price is around $8,500, which is like, that's pretty good. I mean, it's better than the backyard, I think. They said 75, I think they said 75 people. So I think that made sense. And on top of that, she said, listen, if you can, she said, how much can you chip in? And Greg said, oh no, she said it. She said, if you can chip in like $1,000, your dad and I will pay the rest, which was shocking because for a person that criticizes, you know, picks on you taking showers using, you know, water and electricity or whatever, you're offering to pay, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. That was surprising to me, that I never saw it coming.
No one was like, this is really a lot, and I could never ask that of you. Like, this is. You know, she was humbled by the mom, and the mom was like, of course, your family, I would do anything for you. Or she said something like that.
Right.
And I was like, what changed? Like,
I know, exactly. Like, all of a sudden, I mean, they were talking about the dowry too before they went to see this hall.
Right.
And, you know, he said that Greg said that they have to put money aside for the dowry. That was it. That was the most of it. We are happy that Greg and Joan have a place to get married in. And so we didn't see Mark and Mina. I don't remember seeing Mark and Mina this past episode. The one before
was the meeting with what's her face. Yeah.
She told Mina that, you know, I was the one who broke up with Mark. And whatever Diana said was pretty much true. And, you know, he cheated on her. And it is possible that while he was with Mina, she kept in touch with Jade. That's possible. But Jade reassured Mina that there's nothing going on right now. Once in a while, he might text or call to check up on her, but that's about it, which is weird anyway. If you're with someone else, you know, why do that?
He's still paying the BMW payments, maybe.
Exactly. So we didn't really see this most recent episode. We didn't see much of Mark and Mina, so we're not going to go too much into it. And we get to the final couple. I don't know which one is more complicated or is getting more complicated. Sean and Aaliyah or the throuple. I don't know. It's just getting harder and harder to talk about these people.
The only real thing, it's getting harder and harder because you and I keep repeating the same damn thing every episode.
Right.
It's like, it's heading in a direction that we could have told you the very first episode, and there's nothing more to say. It's just like, we're watching a very slow car crash.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Sean and Aaliyah, I have nothing else to add to that. Aaliyah is now wanting to talk about bottom surgery. I wouldn't be okay with that. Okay, right. Don't get effing married then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, he's the like, only, what?
Sean is like, he looks like he just doesn't give a shit about it.
I don't know. We ask this every week. Like, what is he gaining from this relationship? He looks upset.
Idea. Right.
You know, he made a point where he was like, I just don't want to hear it from anyone because it's nothing that I don't already know. And I know that feeling when you make a decision that no one else likes or something like that, and you just don't want to hear it. You just want to, because you're already stressed. You already know the concerns that people have, and you don't need to hear it again. You're already working on it.
All right.
So I get that. I don't know why he made his kids seem like they were going to be so horrible. They were lovely to Aaliyah. So I don't know where that came from.
Right.
Maybe that was just the first meeting and something will change, but like, I don't have
anything. His mom was very nice to her too.
Yeah. But I could have told you that from first episode too, because his mom and Aaliyah's mom were both like really incredible, supportive moms.
Right.
but they need to figure their shit out. They're going to be running out of time. They're spending all this money on these pre-wedding events, which probably is a drop in the bucket for Sean. But either way, it's like, figure it out. You're running out of time. You know, do you want to be together or do you not want to be together?
Yeah, he's like, they know, they don't know. It's there, it's not there. It's like, why are you acting like that? He's like, the people are asking him, why aren't you in touch with us more? And, you know, he says, I only am in touch with people who are in front of me. And I, you know, I don't text people. And the other person says, why? You're a good texter. He says, what are you talking about? You can, of course, you can, you know, get in touch with people or not. And, you know, it's up to you what you're doing. You know, you could keep in touch with people, but he just doesn't care. He just like, I don't care if, you know, people, he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want people to say what he already knows.
Exactly.
He said it himself. It's like, I already know what you're going to tell me. So
I don't need to hear it from both ends.
Yeah, I don't need to hear it. I mean, the age gap is huge. It's like, even between the two of them, the jokes he's making, they're not funny because they're from the generations ago. People are not going to remember Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
You know, or your
Leah's like, Streisand is
not even, you know, in the conversation anymore.
They don't have anything in common. They're just, I don't know.
It's so confusing. And how are you going to keep that love going? You know, if you, your life changed and you fell in love with different people and now where are we and where are we going from here? And finally we do the throuple, and it was just like they had to drop off Ani because she had to work that night, and they kept saying, oh, why do you have to work? And it's like, the poor woman has to make money, you know. It's like, you're not paying, you know, you're not supporting her. She has to support herself and her child, so she has to work. And then it just him, I just Matt and Amani end up at a hotel. And as I said the last time, it's this power play that Amani is playing. And now she sat down and pretty much told Matt that Ani cares more about her than he cares about, that she cares about Matt. And obviously he is upset, you know, and why she didn't tell him sooner. And the other fact is that, you know, I'm not really desired in this, you know, throuple. And
which I still don't believe. I know that Ani told Amani that, probably to shut her up, but you and I both could see the obvious chemistry between Matt and Ani.
Right.
So I think that because it was also for Amani to be like, by the way, she's like, he loves me more. Like, why are you saying that?
It's all because she wants to be, always wants to be in the middle. She doesn't want to be pushed aside and whatever. She wants to tell Matt that you're not really wanted. You're only connection between among all three of us is really me. And literally at the end, she's like begging her, please, you know, think about this and, you know, bring me in or keep the whole thing together. I was like, why are you even doing that? It's because he FaceTimes his friend Eric, and they talk a little bit about what happened and what Amani told him. And the friend says, just get the hell out of there. What are you doing? Because if you really think about this, it's like a couple, two children are divorcing so that the wife could marry another woman. And then how the hell are you going to organize everything, the custody, the money, the property? There's so much crap involved. That plus the fact that you're a husband and a wife, you understand, you enjoy having different kind of intimacy with other people, but at the same time, why are you destroying your own marriage? maybe there's a problem with your marriage.
That's what the friend was saying. He was like, you better be careful.
Exactly. Yeah, so if that's the case, then divorce and goodbye. Why make it a throuple? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, again, repeat of everything we said every single week. You know, Imani has a control issue. She did not need to stir the pot like that. That was completely unnecessary and stupid.
Yeah, yeah. She wants to.
She just wanted to hurt him, pretty much.
Yeah. He's gonna feel weakened, and he's gonna feel like the only person that I can talk to is Imani, and Ani is probably gonna feel the same way. Or we'll see. We'll see if she can bring Ani under her control as well.
Well, also I'm a little frustrated because they made that scene about Brenda and all that seem like it was next week. And we've had two more episodes, right? And I'm like waiting for it to happen, and it's not happening, but whatever.
Yeah, we didn't see that at all. Maybe it'll happen like when she's done with work, they get together or something. I don't know.
Maybe. I keep like watching what they're wearing to see if it matches the scene. I'm like, is it now? Is it now? Is it now?
I know. Ani is like, I don't think she's going to be.
Phased by that conversation
under control, she has that control over Matt, but I don't think she will be able to do that with Ani, unless she like last time in the winery, she cries and groaning and crying and like, please help me,
so annoying
by myself, I need love.
Yeah,
and,
is that all?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we should be back on track to continue next week with the next episode.
That's right.
So stay tuned.
Well, thank you everyone for listening, and hope you join us again next week on another episode of 90 Day React.
Bubbas and Banter.
Bubbas and Banter.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Hey.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.